Well, good morning. It's a lovely joy for me to be with you this morning, be in the house of the Lord. What a privilege. I'm going to read from God's Word, from the Gospel of Luke to begin, chapter 2, if you want to turn there, read along. Or simply if you want to listen to God's Word. We believe God is in the speaking and the proclamation of His Word. And if that is so, then a conversation will begin between you and God now. What is it that your heart will receive from God? And what is it that you might respond to Him? It might take the rest of the day to respond, maybe the rest of the week, I don't know. But let's put our minds and hearts in a place to receive from the living God the fruit of His Word to our souls. Let's read together from Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 22. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh boy, I've messed it up now. Thank you, I'm going to shut it off for a minute. Should be ready to fly now. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit who inspired these words to illumine their meaning to us in our hearts. Dear Lord, we pray, we turn our hearts watching and waiting for you to move and work and speak in our very being, spirit to spirit, heart to heart, that we would hear from you today, dear Father, and know your truth in our time, in our day, in our life. Speak, Lord, we are listening. By the favor and mercy and merits of Christ, we pray. Amen. Finney talked a moment ago about waiting for things. When we pray, we wait. I don't know how long you've waited for something. Maybe, I don't know, a month or two. Of course, we've all waited longer than that for things, haven't we? Years, maybe. Maybe a decade, maybe more than a decade. I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself waiting for something your parents were waiting for. Have you ever thought about waiting for something your grandparents were waiting for? You ever thought about being part of a nation that has been given to wait, generation after generation after generation after generation, for hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of years? Some give up the wait after a while, don't they? Don't we? Move on to other things, more pleasant things, easier things to bear than the agony, the gaping hole of waiting for something that has not yet come. We meet two people in the gospel this morning, Simeon and Anna, who are given. They have given themselves to waiting. Think about it. It's a calling God has on his people. By speaking a promise and not yet fulfilling it, he summons his people to wait. It's the posture of faithful Israel. And when they go astray, it is because they have forgotten God's promise, God's word. They've forgotten their hope. They've forgotten their reason for being. And all these things are true for us as the new Israel. God's promise has been spoken to us that he's coming again. And we are given to live in hope, in the sorrow, in the heartache of waiting for what is yet to come. What has come, but what must come again. We have a beginning, but not an ending. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope that the words today that are shared and the readings from the scripture might summon you again to your watching and waiting. For we can become weary and sleepy and without hope if we forget the promise and the one who speaks it. We can forget our reason for being, to watch and wait for the fulfillment. The way it's spoken to us in the gospel this morning is that Simeon, it's beautifully put, Simeon is waiting, do you remember the words? For the consolation of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? He's waiting for the consolation. Israel is a nation in heartache, in disorientation. They've been that way for, in his time, well, for as long as anyone could remember, for as far back as anyone could tell stories. And in his time, they were an occupied nation. They had the Gentiles in their land. It was more than an inconvenience. They were longing for the consolation of Israel. They were longing for Messiah to come and make things right. They had reason to long, but unfortunately many of their focus had drifted away from the real consolation that was to come. And we know that when the consolation came, very few were tuned in to what consolation God was bringing. It's a warning to us too in our time. Let's stay true. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's be looking to Him for His coming again. Our eye fixed on Jesus, the consolation, capital C, of all Israel. What did they have on which to base their hopes? I want to read from Isaiah the prophet a few verses. Hear these verses then and see if you hear the backdrop for Simeon's words. Isaiah 49, picking up in verse 3, he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel." So it has a beautiful double fulfillment, both in the nation of God's people and in the true and faithful Israel, Jesus Christ. "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God." And the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I have also made you a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This is what the Lord says. "In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, 'Come out,' to those in darkness, 'Be free.'" Dropping to verse 13, "Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people." and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. The likes of these two characters in our gospel today, Simeon and Anna, are those who are clinging to these words. They are waiting for the comfort of Israel to come. They are waiting for God to fulfill. What does a life look like that is given to waiting? What is the shape of such a life? What is the heart of such a one who waits in this way look like? These two people appear on our screen, if you like. Let's look at them and see what we can find about what such a life looks like by looking at them. Simeon is a kind of a mystery character, I would call him. We know next to nothing about him. We know his name and that he happened to be in Jerusalem that day. That's all we know about him. His name maybe tells us a little something. It has something to do, his name means something to do with hearing. Hearing and possibly obeying. That's what Simeon means, they say. Well, that's it. That's all we know. We don't know how old he is. We don't know what his business was in Jerusalem. We don't know who his parents were or what his job was. He is a man of the hour, the right place at the right time. But the scripture does reveal something very important to us, quite unique in his time. Don't know if you noticed, but three times reference was made to the Holy Spirit around the person of Simeon. Let's look at it again. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Oh, there are a couple more things we know about him. But no one pays attention to these things. I mean, who cares if someone's righteous? Devout? What does that even mean? Except these are the things that God sees. These are the things God sees. This is what God wants to pay attention to in us. It's what he wants us to pay attention to in ourselves. Are we rooted in our righteousness, Christ? Are we defined by him? What do you think it might look like if you were devout? Our brother Vinny made reference to this even today in the prayer. Or is that an archaic word that doesn't have any meaning for you anymore? It's a beautiful word, devout. He was righteous by the standard of the law and devout in the climate of his heart. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And here it is, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Well, that's the kind of thing that the prophets experienced. Think Old Covenant terms now, not the New Covenant of the Holy Spirit coming and being born in us and making us the children of God. The Holy Spirit came upon prophets and kings in order for them to fulfill a particular function. They were clothed with the Spirit to do a certain job, to do a certain task, God-appointed task. Well, the Holy Spirit, there's no one like this. There was no prophet, remember, for 400 years before the coming of Jesus. There was this time of utter waiting. No word, no more promise, no renewal of the word of the promise of God. But here now is a man, the Holy Spirit is upon him. God has clothed him and set him apart for God's purposes. The Holy Spirit is upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Here is a man who has a personal promise from God. Well, what kind of man is this? God hadn't spoken to the nation for hundreds of years, but here is a man who has a personal word from the Holy Spirit about his own life. He would not die until his eyes had fallen on the Christ. There's hope in his heart, for sure. He was a kind of living hope, waiting to see the fulfillment of the promises of God that had been spoken to his grandparents and the many, many, many great grandparents before him. What's the third thing relative to the Holy Spirit about Simeon? It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He would not die, verse 26. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Here is a man who in his life, in his waiting, has become responsive to the prompting of the Spirit, even to where he needs to go. This may be more common for Christians to be so led, but remember, he's in the old covenant still. This is a special man that God has entered into some relationship with him that is quite unique. It sort of reminds me of Enoch of the old covenant, of the old, early Old Testament, remember? Genesis. Now we have another man, a man of the Spirit. I call him a mystery man. He's a man we know nothing about except that he is in communion with God. That's what a longing heart looks like. That's what a life given to waiting begins to consist of. One who is led and prompted and responsive to the words and promises of the Holy Spirit. He comes into the temple on the very day that Mary and Joseph are bringing the child Jesus. There's a beautiful thing that's going on this particular day in Jerusalem, the city of peace. I just want to sketch it for you to imagine the glory of this. Think about these peasant parents, Mary and Joseph. And who are they carrying into the temple? Who is it that they're coming to present unto the Lord? They're carrying the second person of the Trinity into the temple to present him to God the Father. And they are met by a man who's prompted by the Holy Spirit to come and meet them. Do you see the activity of the triune God on that day? There hadn't been a day like it. And Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit, sees this couple coming in, and he takes the second person of the Trinity into his arms, and he blesses or praises God. Sovereign Lord, he says. What a moment. What a moment in time. You can let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation, the consolation, and the light for the Gentiles. Simeon has been a watchman. He's been one waiting on the wall, if you like, looking, scanning the horizon for the word to be made flesh and to come and live among them. And now his eyes have seen him. My job is complete, he said. It wasn't much of a significant life, was it? All he did was wait. Or was it? My job is complete. I'm going off duty. And I will depart in peace. For you have fulfilled your word to me. But the thing about Simeon, of course, is he's not just preoccupied with himself, that now he can trundle off and die in peace. He has been waiting for the consolation of the nation. He's been burdened with longing, not just for himself, but for God's people. He's been waiting for God to be shown to be faithful to his covenant promises. So he may depart in peace, but now God's people may live in peace. The Christ has been born. Are you waiting for Christ? Are you longing for him? Are you waiting for God to be honored in the fulfilling of His own word, His own promise? What's your orientation? What is your perspective? There is a kind of waiting that some Christians are called to do that just is all about themselves, their own personal rescue. But we're called to something bigger than that. We're called to see the consolation of God's people. We're called to see the fulfillment of God's word, that God will be feared and honored and known. He is the Lord, as Israel was called to bear witness to. Then you will know that I am the Lord. We are summoned to such a way of waiting, to such an increased capacity for longing, for watching. Brothers and sisters, are you living there? Or do we distract ourselves with trivial things and become sleepy and not attentive in the watching? Remember the parable of the virgins? Jesus called his disciples to an attentiveness. If we truly are waiting for God, waiting on God, longing for His word to be fulfilled, we will be led by the Spirit. We will be in the right place at the right time, just as Simeon was on that day. Maybe today is the right place and the right time for you to hear again of Christ and to receive Him into the arms of your heart and to welcome Him there and to give thanks to God for sending a Savior to you, to redeem you from your distress and your destruction without Him, death and hell. Maybe you were led by the Spirit of God without even knowing to be in this place today, to hear these words fall on your ears, to hear again there is occasion for joy and thanksgiving. God has kept His promise. Christ has come into the world to rescue and save sinners, to console His people and comfort them. Maybe you've been waiting and longing all your life, and you didn't know it was for Christ you waited and watched. You filled your life with many distractions and many things. You can do this as Christians even. But there is only one who can console the lost. There is only one who can redeem sinners. That is to buy them back from destruction and establish them in the kingdom of Christ's rule. Well, maybe you are longing. Maybe you are filled with that gaping ache of God, would you fulfill your word? For nothing in this life is satisfying. And furthermore, you have promised, and I long for you to be glorified in the fulfillment of your word. Maybe you are such a one, but you think my life isn't like Simeon's. If he is a mystery man, I'm a person who's very much a part of things of this world. There's a lot of suffering. My life is marked by other things that keep me very much in touch. I don't live such a lofty, spirit-filled, spirit-led life. Well, let's just look for a moment at our second character in the gospel today. Here we have something and someone completely different. We have a woman, a prophetess. We have her genealogy. We know her lineage. She is a person rooted in life, rooted in history. She's of the tribe of Asher. And more than that, she's lived a hard life. She was in the temple that day, not having been blown in by the leading of the Spirit. She'd been there for 50 or 60 years, watching and waiting. She was there because of personal tragedy. She was there because of devastation and social embarrassment. She was a widow. We don't read anything of children. It's an embarrassment in those times, where everything depended on a woman bringing forth a son in the world to carry on the name of the tribe of Asher. That's what brought her to the temple. So that on the moment, it's beautifully sketched for us, at that very moment, it says, of Anna. At that very moment, there she was, in the right place at the right time. Her journey had been completely different to that of Simeon. Her life is as different as the sun is from the moon. As will your circumstance be. Your coming to Christ, your being in the right place at the right time will be defined by who you are and what your circumstances are. What matters is if you find Christ and are found to be receiving him with joy and gratitude. Anna and Simeon share this. They are of this class, if you will, of people. The righteous poor who have nothing but their hope in God. They represent something that we can carry in our hearts as Christians. Jesus summons us also to poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says. Yours is the kingdom. When we are divested of all other things, all other distractions, all other pleasures, and our lives, although they have the blessings of God in them, but they do not consist of these things, even though we have many happy days, such as I hope we've all experienced in these last days of celebrating Christmas, but those things don't define us. There is still this longing, this waiting for God. How is your life defined by your longing, is the question today. How is your life shaped? Simeon and Anna's life was shaped by their presence, their coming, their returning, their remaining in the temple, that place, as it says of Anna, worshiping and praying night and day. Hers was a life of loss. That's what defined her longing. Simeon was a life of hoping. What defines your way of hoping? Think about it, brothers and sisters. How are you led by the Spirit? And if you are indeed longing, what have you invested in your search for Christ? Have you invested enough? Or is there more of yourself, more of your resources, more of who you are that you need to invest in the search for the one who is all and in all? Christ, the Lord. Let's come to prayer, brothers and sisters. Let's draw our hearts to be attentive to the Lord himself in our midst. What is it that he is speaking to your heart? What is it that he is calling forth from you? What deposit has he put in you a long time ago that he maybe is reawakening in you today? Pay attention to this in the stillness of these few minutes that we will take. What is his word to you? Father, we thank you for these two servants of yours, Simeon and Anna, whose lives were defined by waiting. We thank you for the way we recognize in them today an invitation to our hearts also to wait and to watch for your coming again. We thank you, Lord, that in your providence and in your mercy, you led us to the right place at the right time to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord who died, King and Sovereign who rules. And you've given us to believe in him and to hope in him and to return giving him everything. Everything back to him who gave all for us. But Lord, we recognize that the gospel calls us to watching and waiting also for the fulfillment, for the revelation of Jesus in all his glory, that truly the nations will see. God, we pray you would stir up our longing and our watching, even after Christmas, that we might be drawn ever deeper, ever deeper. Into that yearning that defines the longing heart. We thank you for all you've done for us, Jesus, and for all you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen.